Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Terry Pluto was on earlier today. Terry Pluto had mentioned Steve Kerr and Kenny Atkinson in the same breath. Bill Ryder was on yesterday. They both mentioned, or 2 days ago, I should say, Bill Ryder was. They both mentioned Kenny Atkinson and Steve Kerr in the same breath. This is a strong conversation. Now, I asked on social media. It's just social media. I mean, not even a 10% of the audience? But I asked him, I says, what do you guys think? I just want to know. What do you think the difference is between Kenny Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff? The replies were numerous. The array of replies were numerous. So it was either A, J.B. Bickerstaff couldn't do anything right, B, none of us know, or C, they've been so damn good at 12-0 that for every fan, every Cavs fan, Kenny Atkinson and the Cleveland Cavaliers have scratched an itch that they've had either last season or the previous four beforehand. What makes Kenny Atkinson different? 216-474-0092. To you, what makes Kenny Atkinson different? We asked Terry Pluto about that. I mean, he had big conversations about it. Said, what makes it different?
You know, there is a similarity between when J.B. was like Jackson was with Golden State, and then Mark Jackson was coaching there and really got them going, and then Steve Kerr came in. And as Kerr said when he was in town last week, you know, he didn't take over a damaged team. You know, he just had a team that needed some, he called it tweaking or some adjustments, and then the same thing here. I know Kenny Atkinson was thrilled to get this job, not just because it's an NBA job. When you laid out the team and everybody's like, Donovan's 28 and the other guys are younger. You know, this thing was ready to run and run fast if you could get the engine working right.
I mean, this is great. This is as beautiful as any of us wanted it to be. 12-0 to start the season. I mean, some folks have been a little bit touchy of the brakes here, and I'll bring up more of that coming up in a segment in the future. Well, here
Terry was like, hey, this is awesome.
Terry's seen him
just 12 games.
Well, hell, I'll bring it up right now. I mean, did it not sound, when we were talking to Bob Haney at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore during around the AFC North, does it not sound like maybe some people, Peter Lynn spelled this out yesterday, I'll throw him under the bus, what the hell, that some people are kind of tapping the brakes a little bit because they're thinking the same way that some Ravens fans might think about the Ravens. Like, hey, this is all good, but what are you going to do in the postseason? What are the Cavs going to do in May?
And that will be what this team is judged on, right? Like, we're all in agreement. But
yes,
along the way, I mean, we can't fast forward. We're living in it now. And what's better than going and watching them, an undefeated basketball team that the NBA world is all talking about and giving credit to?
I don't want to blame it all on J.B. Bickerstaff, but here you have the same team back with... There's one exception I could say. Well, you have Ty Jerome.
Who's been unbelievable.
He wasn't here last year. You do not have Max Strus, which, boy, by the day, he's looking worse and worse just because everybody else is doing so much better. And we had daily fights about Max Strus last year. But, damn, you have a situation here with this Cavs basketball team. I said football team. This Cavs basketball team where now they're not playing. They're not playing to see how they're going to figure it out. It looks like they got it figured out. Now it's early, all right? It is early, but it looks like these guys can play together. Darius Garland looks better. He looks more confident, as Terry had said. You know what? There was something that hasn't been foreseen here, is that last year there was the giant elephant in the room of what Donovan Mitchell is really going to do. And there seemed to be pressure of playing with Donovan Mitchell because you were, in fact, kind of in a way, I don't mean to make that LeBron comparison, but playing for Donovan. Because we were figuring out, all right, we'll do anything to keep Donovan here. Who's going to be here with Donovan? Now that's all, that seems to be figured out.
Well, Donovan's secure too. It's not as if, and the other night he took over because he probably felt like he had to. Probably was just sensing that was a night that he was going to have to be superstar Donovan Mitchell. But he hasn't needed to be superstar Donovan Mitchell. And that's what's beautiful about this right now is that, you know, JB had to rely on guys playing a ton of minutes, especially as bad as Darius was last year. And Evan wasn't ready. I mean, Evan had trouble dribbling, walking and chewing gum. You're not seeing that this year. He is definitely more adept. And, you know, the other night he got stripped a couple of times. But overall, he's been way more confident dribbling coast to coast. Like, he really just couldn't do that last year. So I do think part of it is I give the players credit. Like, they've taken that step forward. And so I can't wait to see this team. Like, their schedule has been soft. And they've been expected to win most of these games. You know, the Golden State game was the one test, and they crushed them. So that was awesome. When they get a chance to play, unfortunately, tonight, you know, it'll be another total mismatch because Philly is not... Isn't that funny? I'm looking for challenges because they're so good. Like, I want to be able to evaluate this team in games that matter. And,
yeah.
You know, there's going to be no Maxey and no Embiid tonight, most likely.
But I think a lot of people, like, when they start, you mentioned when I asked you a question. I'm not going to give your answer away, by the way. When I asked you, I go, hey, is Darius back to untouchable land? And you had said, you had mentioned, hey, might want to be careful asking that question this early. Like, maybe towards the trade deadline, you want to ask that question.
Yeah, and I think, and well, truth be told, I think this will give it away. I think there's only, like, four untouchable guys in the NBA.
Well, either way.
So, no, Darius is not untouchable.
Well, you didn't have to say that.
But he's bit, like, this is what we've wanted. We've wanted him to take the step forward. And if, look, they're not going to win 75 games this year. They're going to have losing streaks. They're going to have injuries. But this has been such a joy to see this come together and that a head coach is as comfortable in his own skin to not reinvent the wheel defensively. Like, I did wonder, hey, are we going to be pushing the pace so much that we're going to give up defense? Are we going to go with lineups that totally sacrifice defense because we're so worried about offense? No, he actually said, he gave JB credit. He's like, I kind of picked up where they left off defensively.
What I think you're doing is, I think what everybody's doing. Like, you mentioned, like, I don't know, fans aren't going to like that. They're going to say, why are you looking for problems with a team that's 12-0? I think that they're also saying, hey, this is great. We're going to ride this out until we actually have to figure out exactly what to do. But some of this stuff, man, I think in so many ways, it might have been figured out where it wasn't maybe JB leaving. I think JB had come to the end. I did.
Yeah.
But is it just the security that they have, it seems now, of playing with one another, being able to spread out the floor, being able to do what they want offensively? That's maybe helped on the defensive end. Like, they just seem more free than they ever did before. And some of that, I just don't think that's JB's fault. I just don't. I'm sorry.
Well, guys might not have been ready either.
They might not have been ready.
Hasn't Darius told you that he was not in the right, both physically and mentally, was not in the... That's not a JB problem.
Yeah.
Last year, right? So, I mean, we agree on that.
Last year was horrible for Darius. Terry brought it up, eating, right? As a joke, kind of what has changed for him, but... He had his jaw wired shut. Like, he literally didn't eat for how long?
He was liquefying. And by the end of the year, physically, I mean, he should have been fine. It had been months since he had had that. He was able to eat again. He was able to gain the weight back. But mentally, he was destroyed.
After you've had the season before, he had his eye poked out right in the opener. And then last year, broke his jaw. I mean, anything around, you got to be flinchy.
Like,
Is there any time it's around you?
But now, I mean, last year you were wondering if he's a top 14 point guard in the league. Like, now, who can you say, or top 14 guard, who can you say is a hotter guard right now?
Oh,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Like,
yeah, I mean, Kyrie's been great.
LaMelo's been great. LaMelo has actually really been good. What did he take, 13 threes the other day?
He's averaging 13 threes a game.
That's what you said.
And he's scoring 30 a night. But no, there's no doubt. Darius, you're getting maximum Darius right now. He's playing the best basketball of his career.
So is this something I think that people are wondering, can it be sustainable in the postseason? Like that when people get sensitive about like the, and I don't want to go down that path, and you're right to not to. We won't. We're not going to go down it of whether or not Darius is untouchable. Whatever. We have time to do that later on in life, not today. Do people believe that they're seeing something that is palpable now that can help them for their future? Do they believe that they can see something that is going to be something that they can put there in the postseason that's going to help them against Philly or help them against, I'd like to say Milwaukee, but who the hell knows, something that's going to help them against Boston? Because Boston still, you know, the regular season is not that important to Boston. It's still important to us, especially with a new head coach and getting these guys to play along together and play along with confidence. I think we are seeing some of that. I mean, Ty Jerome being able to help out. And again, Dean Wade, he's not a threat to shoot it. I get that. But because of his length, I think that he's able to space out the floor, and I think he makes things easier for Donovan and Darius and everybody else. That's just my personal opinion.
Last year, you felt like you were the worst in the league when it came to wings. But now with Evan Mobley playing more like a wing, Ty Jerome, even though he's a guard, with his size, he can kind of play like a wing. That stuff matters. And Wade in the starting lineup on most nights before, you know, his injury, you go from having no wings to he's 6'8", 6'9".
6'9".
I mean, that's a huge difference. Those are the guys you need to play against Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
So
Max Strus, they can back him down. They can't do that to Dean Wade.
So what I do think that Kenny Atkinson has done different, has been different with, I do think the offense has been good. You know, I mean, we talk about pace all the time. I have not seen Darius just roll the ball up the floor. You mentioned that the other day on the phone.
I was so sick of that. I don't know where that came from. I don't know if Darius thought he was looking cool doing that. It made no sense to me with why they did that so much last year, walking the ball up.
But
they're up significantly in pace.
But some of this stuff I just think is so natural. Evan Mobley looks bigger. He looks better. He looks more confident. Okay, did Kenny instill that in him?
Is that just
maybe we'll find that out later.
Is that just year four for him?
Or is it just year four? Darius, as Owen noted, as Terry Pluto noted, you could hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com. Darius was a mess last year. Well, he did have his jaw wired shut for a couple of weeks. Now Darius has found food, and Darius looks like he's confident. Is that a natural progression to Darius? Did he get put a couple of years behind because of injury?
I've still been one, and I know Nick in the afternoon show has been kind of taking shots at me for giving the players more credit. By the way, you know, coaches can come and go in the NBA. Players are who you need.
Oh, I give players more credit.
I think it's more exciting to give the players credit because that means you got more staying power. But there's no doubt Atkinson has helped this team. All the players have talked to it, which is great. They've spoken to that. And I also think like he hasn't gotten in the way. And that's huge. There are coaches that get in the way. He has definitely not gotten in the way.
Well,
so I certainly give him credit.
If they come in and they feel they have to fix everything. And that's where I think that the Steve Kerr comparison is apt. And there's so many different ways you can go about it because we always make the strongest comparisons we possibly can. Steve Kerr is a hell of a stronger comparison.
That's the all-time big one. Because, they were good under Mark Jackson, and they were getting better.
Yeah.
But the move was Steve Kerr coming in and realizing Draymond Green is a starter. that guy was a backup with Mark Jackson and getting limited minutes.
And what are we seeing now with Jared Allen? We're seeing the most consistent play that we've seen through this stretch. And it's early. It's still 12 games. We're seeing very consistent play out of Jared Allen. And Kenny Atkinson knew how to work with him because they were both in Brooklyn together, and Jared Allen was very excited. We're seeing a very consistent Jared Allen here. We're seeing a better Evan Mobley. We're seeing a better Darius Garland. Some of that is all going to be natural, but some of that has to be a coach that's not stepping in trying to fix everything. You know, Mark Jackson had to fix a lot of things and get them going in the right direction, kind of the shove off. The same thing that J.B. Bickerstaff did, because I don't know the situation that Mark Jackson had to take over in Golden State. I probably wasn't paying that close of attention to the time, and maybe I should have been more ready for this conversation. I know JB had to take over a mess, and JB did a good job getting things established and shoving them out of the nest and getting them going. Maybe it was the same thing with Mark Jackson, and now they got Steve Kerr. We got Kenny Atkinson. He can help out, not get in the way, the same way Steve Kerr was able to help out and not get in the way over time. Who deserves more credit right now? Is it Kenny Atkinson or is it his players? Because I am getting some, and Terry Pluto had said, hey, you know, some of this is natural. Some of this is Darius Garland is bigger, stronger, more confident than he was before. Donovan Mitchell has signed a deal to stay with the Cavs. I think more people, because it was all, is Donovan going to go? And if he stays, who's going to stay with him? What's going to happen? Like, you remember the first game one of the Orlando series. And Kendrick Perkins is on ESPN, which is he still for that whole predatory loan thing? Is he still working that out, that whole deal with the NIL stuff? Anyway, find that out. But Kendrick Perkins was on ESPN, and he's saying, he's like, well, you know, this is a done deal anyway. He's playing for someone else next year. It's like, what, I can't even enjoy this series. We're going to start talking about Donovan Mitchell's future somewhere else. I mean, AA used to get so upset when Donovan Mitchell, whose dad works for the Mets, Donovan would wear Mets jerseys and go to Mets games. Like, his dad's worked for the Mets like his whole life. Like, of course he's going to be a Mets fan. That's fine. But people reacted like that. And I think fans felt that way, and maybe players felt that way. The NBA is a very emotional game, an emotional place, and maybe players felt that way. All right, that's natural. I don't know how much that had to do with J.B. Bickerstaff. But Kenny Atkinson has stepped in there and I think has done some good things offensively. Sets, rotations, I mean, we can go and back and forth about that. They do seem to be playing freer. The pace seems to be a lot better than what it was, even though it's not the most incredible thing. But I think that they just maybe naturally have grown up and got better. Evan Mobley, a bigger body than what he was. Did he put on, what, 14 pounds? I think it was, which in his world is a lot.
Yeah, and he's obviously just more confident with his dribble, with his playmaking. We always saw since his rookie year, we saw glimpses of that stuff. And so obviously we wanted more. We get greedy.
Yes.
We want to see more. We want to see it early. Because sometimes when you see a guy like, you know, Chet Holmgren, you know, come right into the league and he's able to shoot threes and dribble and all that stuff, we're like, Evan can do that too. Why isn't he? Well, a lot of people did put that on JB, that he was not maybe empowering him or the confidence wasn't there to play freely. I can tell you, I think part of it, too, starts with Donovan Mitchell, and I hinted on this last week, but just the fact that he is so comfortable in his skin also to allow other guys to be superstars, allow other guys to shine on any given night. Like, you can tell Donovan Mitchell is not out there trying to get his stats. He just isn't. Well, a lot of superstars in this league
because that's
part of legacy stuff and making sure you're at a certain point. Donovan Mitchell looks like he doesn't care. And that's huge, to have your best player on the team act like that and know that it's a big build over 5 months till you get to the playoffs and to make sure those guys are hitting their stride when it matters the most.
So we love both sides. We love Kenny Atkinson
so far. Yeah,
they're
both getting credit.
We love players. We're giving everybody credit. However, who do you believe gets credit the most here? This is a fun exercise. 216-474-0092. I still want to put it on the players. They were the ones who were around last year. They were the ones who had to grow up a little bit. They've grown up a little bit. They've done a fantastic job. I think that any coach can say whatever they want to. They can draw up anything they want to. It's up to the players to figure it out there. They're the ones that deserve the credit. Kenny's done a fantastic job. I call him Kenny like I know him. Kenny Atkinson's done a fantastic job to start things off. Certainly has done well. I think that he knows his players very well already. He certainly knows Jared Allen. Jared Allen's had a great start to this season. But I also have to put it on the players, and I'm saying not also. I put more credit with the players here, considering what they dealt with last year, the strong commentary that we had about them 2 years ago against the Knicks, and the bright spotlight to battle through this last season, to come through and start this season. I think that they deserve the bulk of the credit. Larry and O'Leary, you're first up on the fan.
Kenny, Anthony, what's up, you guys?
Hi.
Great topic. The one guy I think we're leaving out is Kobe Altman. It went for Kobe, and he stuck what he had with the guys bringing everybody back, too. And getting the Kenny Atkinson also. God's made God's sent, man. It's been unbelievable. And basically, Kenny's actually untapped the potential. And you mentioned, too, Kenny, about how Darius looks. A lot better, stronger, more confident. Evan, too. And just,
why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing, too, you guys, I think you had called before earlier this morning, that's about Max Strus. And I like Max, don't get me wrong, and I think they overpaid for him, but he definitely fits on his team, though.
Hmm.
The way he moves without the ball, he plays tough defense, and he definitely fits the system really well.
Well, I think that Max Strus shouldn't be starting, though, when he comes back.
I totally agree.
Okay. Kenny,
you're absolutely right about that. Right. Then he's been off for a while. Then get his feet wet a little bit. And like you said, too, it's going to be phenomenal. He's gonna be, and the thing about, too, much about Diamond, too, Kenny, it's right now, the way this team is set up, man, he ain't going to be worn down the end of the year either. God, mm-hmm. I mean, he's logging what? Is the lowest minutes he's played in his career, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, and Larry, thank you very much for the call. Like, I'm going back to Max Strus.
Well,
like,
if they stay healthy, you know, that's obviously key.
Oh,
sometimes
point,
a lot of these coaches end up having, like, I can't go after JB for last year. He had to play guys. Like, they had injury. They went 17-1 during an 18-game stretch, and go look at their roster. Go look at the guys that were getting called up on any given game. Like, he had to overuse guys last year. And by the way, Kenny Atkinson would probably have to do the same if they had a rash of injuries, mm-hmm. and almost every team does at some point. But right now, like, you know, the other night against the Bulls, he had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They played 10 guys 17 minutes or more. That's a lot. I mean, in the playoffs, normally you're down to, like, 7 or 8 that play that much. And when Max Strus comes back, that adds to it. That adds to the complexity of those rotations. So it's the good in that, okay, you get a sharpshooter like Max Strus who does a lot of little things well, but who's going to have to go to the bench because Max Strus is playing?
I wonder, I know it was a 6-week injury. I haven't heard anything recent. I wonder if it's a little bit more serious than what we originally thought with Max Strus, and it might be a little bit longer. So when he comes back, I don't think it's going to be, all right, you got to go play this amount of time. I don't think they're as desperate as they were last year. Last year, it did feel, because of the other injuries, it felt pretty desperate. Back to the phones. D in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hi, D.
You know what? I got to say, what a difference a coach makes. It's got to be Kenny Atkinson. I met Paul Asadis one time, and he said, you know, Eric Snow, this was back when we first got LeBron.
Okay.
He said, Eric Snow shoots a lot better than people think he does. And I looked at that, and I said, you know what? Coaches see different things in different players. So when Kenny Atkinson has been able to come here and do a pull out these players, they get credit for being ready to perform. But what he's been able to pull out of them, I see the ball passing more, the ball movement is crazy. It reminds me of like our championship days. The things that Mobley is able to do, I didn't even know that he could do up until this year. I know he's been trying to get bigger, but I mean just the skill set.
Hmm.
I mean, convincing Donovan that you can trust your teammates, that takes a lot out of a coach. A coach has to do that. And, I mean, the only thing that really switched, like you guys were saying, is JB is not here. I believe JB coached to their talent, whereas Atkinson is coaching to their potential. And is he bringing out the best of them?
I think you could say whatever you want to him, but, like, Darius has to play up to his level. Like, you told, like, to Darius's level. Like, you could see there were times where I think Donovan was visibly frustrated, D, over these last couple of years. Because I think that he might have saw more in Darius than what Darius was seeing in himself. Now, there's injuries and him getting slapped in the face to cause those injuries that had an effect on that. But when you bring up Donovan, and D, I think you make a hell of a point, and thank you very much for the call. This is where some Kenny Atkinson credit does get put on him, is where, and he deserves plenty. But for Donovan, he has been challenged his entire career, ever since he broke into the league and he became a name. You remember Shaq questioning him. You remember inside the NBA, the rest of the cast, ESPN, questioning him. When are you going to do it? Okay, he gets traded to Cleveland. He didn't foresee getting traded to Cleveland. When are you going to take them to their next level? Now Donovan is perfectly fine to carry the mantle as he did the other day, or let Darius Garland get it figured out. And Darius Garland had to figure it out the other night, and then he hits the shot that wins the game against the Bulls. So you have the best of both worlds playing out right now. And it's been 12 games. But I'm seeing a different Donovan Mitchell who's willing to share and not succumbing to the pressure by the outside media of, when are you going to be the guy? When are you going to do this or that?
Yeah, well, and obviously they're not going to shoot this well the whole year. They're shooting the best in NBA history. Their true shooting percentage is the best in NBA history at this point. They're going to go through lulls, and they're going to have injuries. And that's where I think we're going to be able to see the Atkinson effect, because I love the last caller, what he just said, where you had one coach that was coaching to the talent and one that was coaching to the potential. And then that's when you would see all that. And again, we give JB credit. They had a lot of injuries last year and won a ton of games and had a lot of fun and excitement. But in the playoffs, I mean, they very easily could have lost to Orlando, and that was almost unforgivable. And I think that's probably when, you know, he had lost his job. I mean, they're sitting there battling for their lives in the second half against a team with no playoff experience. Kenny in the playoffs is going to be judged, no matter how many games they win in the regular season. How this unit and the coach is going to be judged is going to be playoffs. But I like the way this feels right now.
I was going to go after some politicians, but the reaction is just too hot here. Let's go back to the phones. Will and Lorraine, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Will.
Hey, I don't think it can be understated.
Will, I'm sorry. Your connection is not very good right now. I apologize. Try to call back in again soon. John in Wadsworth. John, you're next up on the Fan.
Kenny, I definitely agree with you. I think the Kenny Atkinson effect is huge, but I think the players, I think the most pleasant surprise, at least, you know, for me, when we hired Kenny Atkinson, we heard offense, offense, offense. So I thought that the defensive side of the ball would kind of like drop off.
A lot of people thought that,
Yeah, but I give the players so much credit because they've retained that defensive mindset that JB instilled in them. And I think that's the biggest catalyst to this, is because, you know, your offense has increased, but your defense is still at that championship level. And I mean, and when you combine that with the honeymoon period with Kenny Atkinson, I just give the players all the credit in the world for not slacking off on defense, because how many times have we seen that throughout NBA history, you know?
Well, we've seen it a ton. And, John, thank you for the call. And I've been one of the chief excuse makers going, well, it's a regular season. You don't see a lot of defense during the regular season. And I've looked at guys like Isaac Okoro. I think Isaac Okoro makes his money in the postseason by playing defense at times when he has to come in. Now, I'm not sure how the rotations are going to go, because the rotation looks really deep right now. Well, that's going to have to shorten up as the postseason approaches, but we're only 12 games into the season here, so I can't really foresee that. But Isaac has gotten the thing. He got better with his shot as the season went on last year, but I thought it was his defense that helped make him a more confident basketball player. So I would still, you need a defensive stopper. He can be a stopper. He can be a guy that can help you out. Woody and Hudson, congratulations on all your success. You're next up on the Fan.
Boys, good morning. Hey, you just hit the nail on the head. I called in saying I wanted to give some Isaac Okoro love out there, because he's been playing lights out, man. Also, like you said too earlier this morning, is just the depth in our bench, having guys like Ty Jerome. And again, I know he's been on the team for a little bit with LaVert, but my God, he's just coming off the bench. It seems like he comes off the bench and scores 14 to 16 points a night.
I did not know he is tied for the lead in assists on this basketball team, if I'm not mistaken. Caris LeVert is, and he's a fabulous member of the LeVert family, so you know I'm not going to say anything bad about him publicly. Go ahead, Woody.
Right. It's just good to see some of these guys that are not just the Batmans of the world, of like the Darius Garlands and Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen, Evan Mobley. It's like cool to see not the five starters doing all the work. It's cool to see some love coming off the bench. And I think Kenny getting a new face for our team and, you know, coming with some good vibes is going to lead us to great success this year.
Woody, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092. David in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Yes, how you doing now?
Hi, David.
Okay, I agree. We're playing pretty good ball, and Atkinson has made a big difference. I like the way he utilizes his players. He's deep in the bench. One of the question marks that I have, and we still got to address it, is at that three. I get sick every time I see a four starting at the three. I get sick every time I see Spruce starting at the three. We got to get better at that three, because as the season go on, we're going to need that to happen. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, David. Get to Marcus and Aurora real quick. Marcus, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, Kenny, guys. Morning. It's mutually beneficial, players and coaches, but that last call was talking about the three. Listen, the Cavs might have a secret weapon in Amani Bates. You know, he was the third top five player in the country coming out of high school. He's got a ton of talent. I'm really geeked up to see what Kenny can do with this guy, because he could be a secret weapon off the bench, and it makes Kobe Allman look like a genius, too.
Off the charge?
Thanks a lot, guys.
Off the charge bench?
Oh, no!
No, when
Marcus!
He gets to Cleveland, Anthony.
Oh, Marcus, no!
I don't think there's going to be any playing time for Monty Bates this year, the way this is looking.
I think he might.
Remember, Max Strus is going to, again, take up a sizable portion. Where would Amani Bates fit in? He's nowhere near ready right now. I think they basically told you that.
Oh, man, I buy liquor from Marcus. Be nice.
And everything they've done.
Obviously, Marcus has taken his share.
What minutes do you want to see Amani Bates take up? Whose minutes right now? Everybody's playing the best
Tristan
they've ever played.
Thompson's minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say Jalen Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah, you're much more likely to see Tyson get meaningful minutes.
He can have 20 seconds of George Niang's minutes.
How many guys would have to be injured until Amani Bates actually gets in?
Two.
Most of them.
Come on. Be nice
Not
to that
all
young
of
man.
I didn't say
he,
all of
he
them.
He showed a few things last year.
Most
now,
of
hold
them.
On, damn it. He was okay last year at times. He was good at last year at times.
And I'm playing for this year, Ken.
I know that. But let's all of a sudden not say he's a wasted pick or something like that. He
didn't do nothing wrong.
He's acting like that. I ain't yelling at you. Tone's acting like that. Yeah, I'm a little bit
Tone
defensive of Marcus and Aurora, all right? Fine. Fine. So be it. You sell me liquor, I'm going to be defensive of you.
Just because guy calls up and tells you that we should play Amani Bates, put him in there.
It's just like the same day. Oh, yeah. Well, when his old drug dealer calls in, you wait until all of a sudden he calls.
Reckless speculation.
All right. That was a little bit over the line. I apologize. I am sorry about that. I pull back on that.
But my arms dealer.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Somehow. Wait a minute. My arms dealer or your arms dealer?
Black velvet prices are skyrocketing right now.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Ohio State offensive coordinator Chip Kelly spoke in a press conference yesterday and was asked about Will Howard's passer rating and answered it with some shade over concerns over the Buckeyes' slate of noon kickoffs.
He's a 60% career passer before he got here. The scheme and talent around him can change that. But did you see when you saw him a 70%
Yeah, actually, passer? Will said if he gets to play at noon, he can complete 80% of his passes. So I think the controversy's over. So you get a noon kickoff, he'll complete 80. So I think we can all, I know a lot of people have problems with what we're doing, but if it means the quarterback can complete 80% of his passes, we'll take it. So.
Is Chip Kelly done being a head coach in football? At least in college football? I don't think the pros would have him back, but is he done being a head coach in college football?
No, I'm wondering what someone would have to pay him, right, for him to want to have that responsibility again.
He's having fun again.
Although, I tell you.
He's having fun.
Here's my question about so many coaches left the profession because in college because another guy resigned yesterday. I can't remember who it was, but it's just the NIU coach, Northern Iowa. He said it's not pure. This sport is not pure anymore. And he said he's just not interested in that anymore.
What?
But I've heard that he's not alone. I mean, you haven't heard people say this, that they this wild, wild west, this NIL era. You're just seeing more and more guys kind of allude to that. But what I wonder is, what recruiting do you even have to do like at places like Ohio State where they're going to have a general manager? Alabama already has a general manager. And you have a collective that's going to pay. And if your staff or if you've got your staff in place, like why is it that big of a deal? You've got a GM, you've got boosters that are going to support this to the tune of 20 plus million for your team. They'll get your players whatever they need. Do you think Chip Kelly might rethink it if they streamline that and he doesn't have to be on the phone getting asked for handouts?
But like
we
heard,
it's not going to be you. It's going to be the GM.
Exactly. Well, that, and I think that's a tremendous point. However, like I keep hearing about, and this was last offseason, and it's not like I felt bad for Ryan Day, but it's like, man, you want to be with your team. You want to be coaching. You do not want to be at a fundraising event during practice. You do not want to do
true.
That.
Yeah.
And he had to go, like, that's why he brought in Bill O'Brien, who then went to BC for obvious reasons. And then he brought in Chip Kelly. And Chip Kelly's got to run that. I hear that Chip Kelly's got to run that offense on days that Ryan Day can't be there because he's got to go to fundraising crap.
Well, they're going to crack down on the dates.
They have to.
They're going to figure a lot of that out, I think, in the coming years because right now there's too many weaknesses. And I think all the schools are going to get together on this. They actually, the way that this is getting more centralized now, well, the loss of the NCAA, decentralized stuff. Well, what are they all trying to do? They're trying to get it back. Might not be called the NCAA, but
there will still be a body.
Yeah, they're going to want some order to this so that everybody knows what's going to be allowed, what makes sense, what's also good. Believe it or not, people laugh at this. What's good for the student athletes? They're getting paid now. But let's make sure that, they have jobs, can't just be taken away from them, that there's some security there. And I think in the end, Mike Vrabel might not want to recruit in college. Will he have to if, hey, I want that linebacker. What does he want? What is he charging us? What's his going rate?
Yeah.
All right, we have a GM that can handle that.
Well, there
that's
is.
All the players care about now, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them?
I think so. I think that the transfer portal needs to be once a year. You want to do Wild West, do it once a year. Don't do it after spring practice. You want to do it during the winter, do it during the winter. Let it work, let it ride and have it open for a period of time, and then that's it. I don't think you can do it twice a year. I think it's ridiculous. That I will get. By the way, this coach, Mark Farley, he's 61 years old. I understand that now. Okay. For a second, I thought you were talking about North Dakota State for a second when you said UNI. You were talking about UNI, and I misheard you. I'm sorry. This guy's 61 years old. Yeah, he's allowed to say the purity of college football is gone because he got into it for different reasons probably 40 years ago. And yeah, it's different now, and some guys can handle it, and some guys don't need to handle it. But I do think that there's some changes coming. I do think that the election changes a lot of stuff. I think that the people who want, quote-unquote, more pure college football are probably going to get more pure college football coming up in January or in a year soon after that. I do think there will be, it's amazing, I think that there will be more regulation, which seems to be in the face of who's in charge. There will be, I think, a little bit more regulation on this, which is odd to say. But yeah, I think that the people who are like, I can't follow it for this reason or that reason, and it has to do with NIL, it has to do with the personal choice to go about. I've come up with different reasons, different scenarios. One of those is making those players employees, which that's a big brain conversation we've talked about. But I know that you lose programs because of that. I don't want to lose programs because of employment, but that's a different conversation. I just hear a guy like Chip Kelly. He is so unencumbered by any of this. Like, I have to think, would Brett Venables like to be put out of his misery, make a lot of money, and go be a coordinator again?
Probably.
A guy like that. Just coaching football, enjoying your players, getting your guys together. Let's do some inside run for 30 minutes. Let's see who's men instead of, all right, I got to be here at 4:40 because I have to go raise $10 million. And if I don't do it, we're going to be in a lot of trouble here. And then have to deal with the transfer portal twice a year. Like Mike Gundy. I think Mike Gundy is quiet quitting right now at Oklahoma State. Great piece by our good friend Mitch there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.